This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boynodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good whatever time of day it is that you're listening to this. This is episode 79 of GamesAtWork.biz with insert cool title here, or not. I'm Michael Rowe, your co-host here in beautiful Durham, North Carolina, where it is sunny and exciting, and I've been playing some games. And welcome my other co-host, who's also named Michael, Michael Martin.
Hey, it's a great day here in Budapest. We have Carolina blue skies, and it is a nice, nice temperature walking outside with, you know, no jacket on and enjoying the heck out of it.
Excellent, excellent, excellent.
I see you're enjoying a beverage.
I am enjoying a nice cold cup of coffee because it's been sitting on my desk for too long, and I've been on back-to-back calls today, and I have had no time to drink it. So, love me some cold coffee.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm very glad.
So, unfortunately, again, our other two co-hosts are unable to join us this week, but that's okay because you have, M squared here. Not that we're square, but we do play some square games with pixels on it. One of us more than others. And I just want to talk briefly about a blog post that I put up last week instead of our show about games I am no longer playing. So we talk a lot about various games on this show and how you can gain insight for various business practices, whether it's supply chain management or process flow reengineering or general just engagement factor of and how that mechanic or that use can be done from a business perspective. But, you know, we also get a lot of this insight from just playing silly little games or not so silly little games or not so little games. So I looked at the games I've been playing most recently. And by playing most recently, I meant playing the most recently. So actually investing time every day on these games. And I started thinking through, you know, what type of enjoyment I was getting out of the game. Was it worth the effort? Was it worth the time? Did I get the right dopamine drip from playing these games? And I realized I was spending, you know, 7 different games a day, anywhere between 10-15 minutes a piece on these. And that's a lot of time. That is a lot of time. And I was running out of time in the day, and so I sat down and I actually did an assessment of each of those 7 games to see which ones would make the cut. And it was surprising which ones have and which ones haven't to some degree. I think one of the biggest factors to me, and Michael, I'd like to get your perspective on this too, is games that use in-game purchase mechanics in order to continue the fun in the game. Almost every one of those got immediately cut out of the game, games that I play, even though others may have that. Some of the ones that stayed may have that mechanic, but they don't make it so overwhelming or so required that you have to make the payment, right? Because I just don't make the payment in those games.
But you get around them, though. I mean, don't you?
Well, some games, you know, the payment is just a speed up factor, right? You know, if you're willing to grind out 3 more days or wait another 2 hours for your next turn, then you can get around it, right? But others make it just unbelievably overt, right? You really can't get to the next level for any meaningful time period or get that next adventure or build that next I'll pick on one that's been picked on publicly a lot lately, Dungeon Keeper. You know, in order to defend your dungeon, you need enough imps to keep the gold and stone supply going so that you can level up the buildings fast enough in order to get enough bad guys in your dungeon to defend it for you. But you know, after your two imps, the next imp is going to cost you more than you could ever have in coin through a reasonable amount of mining. Or sorry, they use gems through a reasonable amount of gameplay. So you're almost immediately getting hit to invest money in the game. And the other thing that it does, and I played that game, gosh, back in the day on my PC as a PC game, and it was loads of fun, right? You know, you get that little evil, sadistic part of your life. You get to fulfill it by building a dungeon and raiding other dungeons and slapping around your imps to say, work harder, right? And you have that little evil feel. But all in fun. And this, I think the evil feel was them slapping you in the face every time you loaded the game, trying to upsell you into gems, or upsell you into raids, or upsell you into the next whatever. And it was really, really annoying.
Well, yeah, and it can be. And I think those upsell techniques, when done right, you know, get you into the frame of mind where you say, you know, okay, I'll do one. So I understand where you're coming from, that, okay, if you're going to determine which ones you will let go and not play anymore, that might be a good way to help you decide which ones you're going to keep and which ones you won't.
As we've discussed on the show before, I don't mind paying for games, right? You know, a good game, I'll pay the money up front, right? I'll pay, you know, $60 for a game to play on my PC, or, you know, I'm sure you, as somebody who's into console gaming, you know, have no problems, you know, throwing down $40, $50, $60 for a good console game. But if you had to do that, and then had to pay, you know, an extra $5 every time you picked up the game, it would be a very different equation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have played console games for sure. I am not playing nearly as many as I used to, and I haven't in the past year or so.
I can imagine why.
We don't have a television here, so, you know, without a television, a console really doesn't do you an awful lot of good, does it?
You can play auditory console games.
Yeah, I guess so.
Plug headphones in the console and just listen. And you remember there was an iPad game that was auditory only. Came out last year.
Yes, I think so. There's been a few of them. So I understand where you've come from. The one thing that grabbed me, though, when I read your blog post was the amount of time that you're playing World of Warcraft. And I just couldn't imagine in the, you know, just one more turn, just one more thing, just try one more, you know, quest, you could constrain World of Warcraft to 15 minutes a day. To me, that was just like, no.
Yeah, yeah, it actually is surprising.
I'd like to see you try Name That Tune.
Yeah, and you know, many days I'd get 0 minutes in World of Warcraft lately, and they've really done a good job of continuing content, and they've started to add some store elements to it to try to upsell you to new mounts, as an example, right? Which I don't do, right? But they're most of my tunes, most of my characters are maxed out on levels and maxed out on skills. And so it's really about keeping certain things, certain farming elements going to build the next big widget. And I have one tune that does stuff that's worthwhile. And if I get time and I get my 10 minutes or 15 minutes in, that's what I'm doing. Just that one tune, one set of daily quests to grind that out. And they're very, very quick, especially when you're pretty much maxed out on capabilities. So I'm looking forward to when they do have new content. They're supposed to come out with some in the fall, which will increase level caps from 90 to 100 and allow you to go back in time. So our good friend Chris Hazard probably ought to look at the time mechanic that they're going to do. Doesn't seem like it's anywhere near as sophisticated as the time mechanic that Chris has developed for his games.
So I'm really happy that you shared your thoughts about the games that you're no longer playing, because we do talk about games that we're playing and talking about games that we decide to unhook ourselves from and why. So I will take some time and do a similar blog post, and maybe we'll wind up chatting about that as well. But let me maybe shift the conversation a little bit to some things that have been engaging me of late.
And I can imagine there's a game with a round ball related to that.
Well, there is, but I'm going to start first with the Nest smoke alarms as something that I think is actually kind of interesting too. So I know that you've probably not messed around with these things, and I hadn't either, but I've been very intrigued by them because I was intrigued by the thermostat, and I was intrigued also by the smoke alarms. And the thing that kind of grabbed me about the smoke alarms was, you know, there's obviously some higher end of technology built into them. I like the idea that they warn you with a voice, you know, because sometimes people don't hear a beeping sound, but they do hear a voice that says you need to evacuate where you are. And I thought that's actually pretty interesting.
Does the voice sound like this? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson.
Well, I don't know yet because I haven't switched to mine.
Okay.
But here's the really cool piece to it is that these devices are networked with one another. So, and they're connected into your network. So you have a mobile device, your phone, your tablet, whatever, that will allow you to know that there is a problem, which is kind of interesting. They will signal with lights that there is a problem. They'll go from amber to red, depending upon the nature of the emergency. And they also will tell you which device has a problem. So if you had three or four of these in your house and there was a CO2 issue in your basement, all of the Nest devices in the house would alarm and tell you that there was a problem in your basement because cool. You might not be in your basement.
So they kind of network together to let you know. That's cool.
Yeah. Isn't that neat?
I like that.
I do too. And as we think about, you know, how things like that could work from a game perspective and as well as from a real, you know, important health and safety perspective, the concept of having multiple sensors that are aware of their surroundings that let the player or the person or the people know what is happening and doing it in a consistent fashion across all the devices at the same time actually is really intriguing to me. So I have two of them here with me in Hungary. I've not yet installed them because the walls and I suppose the ceilings here too are made of a material that is like harder than my forehead. And sometimes trying to get into the wall and hang something on the wall required a lot of extra effort and didn't quite work terribly well. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I'm going to be able to mount them properly into the ceiling without destroying a drill bit and without destroying, you know, the ceiling as well. So I'm excited about that. And I thought that would be really something cool to share with you, especially as Nest was one of the things we talked about not that long ago, given their acquisition by Google and use potentially for doing more things than that. Yeah, more things than just the sensors in the home and more of an automated home kind of structure. So that was one thing. The other thing that I was interested in sharing a little bit about today is this whole concept of systems of engagement, you know, how things get people engaged. It goes right back to our whole beginnings of games and play and why people play games in the first place, because they derive fun and excitement and engagement from the act of what they do. And for me personally, and I know this is not everybody, but for me personally, this time of year is my favorite time of year because it is when basketball, college basketball in the United States reaches a fever pitch.
It would almost be a madness, you would call it.
It would nearly be an insanity for some. And yesterday and today, so Thursday and Friday, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, I'm holding off to the side the first four edition of those eight teams that play for the playing games to get into the rounds of 64. So purists among us will have difference of an opinion. But as of yesterday, the top 64 teams of universities and colleges in the United States, and again, there might be some debate, and actually there is some debate about whether the top 64 teams actually were selected, but hold that off to the side. the top 64 teams are narrowing themselves down, you know, every day by half. We're going from 64, we're going to 32, we're going to 16. And so there are times when four games, like yesterday and today, there will be four games being played at once. And for the college basketball fan, you want to be able to watch as much of this as you possibly can. And the teams are staggered so that you can watch the start of a game and then watch the start of the next game and watch how one game ends at halftime and another one. And they do have a little bit of room. But there are times during the day when there's four teams playing at once, and it's really hard to keep track of everything that's going on.
Yes.
So there are games to keep you even more engaged in what's going on. So you might not care whether Southwest Missouri State or, you know, whatever is playing on a particular day or not, and if what they're scoring or not. But you might be attracted by the fact that one or game or another is like getting really exciting, and you want to be alerted by it, and you want to notice it, and you want to go and take a look. Well, this year, the mobile applications that surround this, and they come from a variety of sources, CBS and ESPN, and there are various other sports-related applications that have been created, allow you to keep track of what's going on in the games. They provide you alerts. They provide you statistics. They provide you a player insight, a whole range of things that make life extremely easy for you to jump from one game to the next. Or you might be watching a game on television, on your tablet, you're keeping track of another one. And depending on what's going on, you can quickly swap around between them. And so what I love about this is the pure embodiment of taking information around a game. In this case, it happens to be basketball, and making the dashboards and the access to audio and to video so accessible, so engaging, so easy to use that you can swap between them no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing.
So that's an engagement statement, right?
Yes. And it's a game statement too, because it is a pastime, again, not of everyone, but of many, especially those who like the basketball games and the tournament itself, to attempt to predict how the games will pan out. And there's some really interesting examples of people who have applied big data and heavy compute power to try to predict which games will be won by which teams using the amazing amount of information that is available today upon every player's statistics, you know, how teams perform in various circumstances, the gymnasiums or the arenas where people are or teams are actually competing in, and these large systems are used then to try and predict. So I am really enjoying the way in which the game of basketball is further enabled by the game of predicting who is going to win, which further drives engagement because you want to see how well you did in the picks that you've made. And it brings you together, you know, with other people and other friends. Like we run a little pool in our family here just to see, you know, who can come up with the best prediction about who's winning where and why.
Oh, did you hear about, I think it's Quicken Loans is sponsoring a thing with one of the, Warren Buffett. If you can predict a perfect bracket, $1 billion.
Yes,
contest $1 billion.
And what I heard today was after the first day's play,
it's over.
There are eight people who still have a chance.
Yeah, I mean it's that simple, right? It's hard to predict a perfect bracket.
You can't.
Well, you
can try.
You could. Somebody could do it. It might be a fluke, but somebody actually could do it.
Yeah, maybe so. Who knows?
It's not a statistical impossibility. It's a statistically highly unlikely that anybody could do it.
Yeah.
Because a 0.00001% chance likelihood is still a likelihood. Anyway, sorry. So, stats, no, I mean, fun stuff.
This is kind of where I am. So if you think about it, this is something that a lot of people care about. They've made a game within a game. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, now it's mobile, it's social. You can pay attention to stuff wherever you might be, and you'll be able to review it, to see how your picks have done, how they've gone, how others are doing. You can, you know, share that your feelings of the joy of you picking, which is, you know, in the case of my middle boy, he picked Harvard to win.
Woo-hoo!
And many probably did not in that particular bracket. When I asked him about it, he's like, well, you know, Harvard's a really good school. And
Harvard? You mean Harvard?
He picked Stanford for the same reason. Yeah. So, you know, that I was like, okay, that works for me. Nicely done. So, that's the thing I wanted to share on that particular topic. It's a game. It's an engaging way to pay attention to it. And when you think about it from a business perspective, you can click together similar means across a multitude of different platforms. You want to know where your stuff is, and you can watch it on a map traveling from where it was produced or where it was aggregated or sold or whatever, and you can see it come all the way to you. That's a game. You can get an alert to let you know if some inventory was not put in the right spot or is not available to you or your company to complete the finished good that you're working on. So that can happen. You can look at statistics in greater detail, make some choices, refine your estimates, and do a better job of supply demand planning. You know, again, all from your mobile device, following the exact same kind of principles. So to me, engagement. That's the key word.
Yeah. So I will agree that games can be a form of engagement. I think that the basic concept of the NCAA basketball tournament as an example of a game, even with all the engagement around it, is well overshadowed by the fact that it is a game, a sporting event. You know?
Well, it is, and I know this is not exactly your personal cup of tea, too. So I do get that.
I think it's great, but so how can that translate? How can that excitement? How can that engagement translate to other activities? In a business environment.
Well,
I mean, could you take and I'll just use a trivial example. If I put brackets around the best business process improvement effort and turned it into, you know, process madness, would we have the same type of engagement? Or is there something more visceral or something more, I'd use a word term, engaging, but something more personal that causes March Madness versus a business angle of it?
Well, let's try this. Human psychology says that we desire what is not obtainable or is fleeting in its obtainability, right?
Jace?
This is the reasons why we have, you know, you only have 2 days left on this amazing sale, which is never going to be repeated again except for next month.
Until next President's Day.
or, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, but people, you know, make buying decisions based on that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, okay, I've got 10% off and it's a limited time thing. And if I don't act now, I might miss out and whoops, whoops, whoops. So you know, with that concept in mind, maybe let's take the buzzer beater concept from NCAA basketball. Okay. People love, love, love when a game is about ready to end. One team is just barely winning over another, and you want to see if that last shot goes in, right? And what if you were able to even influence that? Now, there are some And there's actually some fun commercials on in the U.S. right now that basically say, you know, it's only weird if it doesn't work, where people will do or not do certain things in order that their team actually wins. Well, what if you were able to identify critical junctures in your business process? And what if you were able to watch them go through to completion? And what if and this is not a Schrodinger's cat experiment, but what if not by observation you provide an opportunity to actually help to ensure a good outcome of that business event? So, you know, it's the end of the quarter. You're getting down to the last minutes. You want to make sure that every order that possibly can go out gets out the door and is counted as revenue within the quarter. What if you were able to provide a visualization that shows what's going on? You can see where things might go wrong. You pay attention to those things. And if you're seeing things go just a little bit wobbly, you can fix it.
Ship those shoes. Ship those shoes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
That would be pretty good, wouldn't it?
No.
No, come on.
No, I understand the concept, and I've seen movies of people working in call centers, right, where they're being measured on how many calls they can do in an hour. How fast can they get the customer to say, nope, that's all I've needed? How do they close it out? And they try to use that same mechanic. But I guess the thing that's different, at least mentally for me, and I think this will be a good discussion, is in a sports tournament, the winner wins, right? You know, second place is still a loser, right? To the winner. And yeah, you can say, you know, just showing up, we won, right? But in reality, we're looking for that underdog who, you know, against all odds went from a no-name school to win in, get into the Sweet 16 and then get into the Final Four and actually win the tournament, and everybody will go yay, even if it beat their team, right? But in a business content, when you try to add that same hype and that same thing at the end of the quarter, it's still, you know, the next day you're shipping stuff again. There's no downtime, right? And it's hard to keep that engagement, that excitement. And it's not, and it shouldn't always be a win-lose situation. You know, if I'm shipping shoes and you're shipping socks, we can both win, right? Is that the MIT versus the NCAA, to use basketball terms? People who win the MIT don't necessarily get huge amount of respect from people who win the NCAA.
No, they don't. But this is not always a win-lose situation. This could easily be a win and win. And you're right. I think one of the challenges around business is that there are certain times when, you know, signing that contract or opening that new plant or, you know, doing something extraordinary is a unique or quasi unique kind of experience. And then you're on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA tournament holds a special place, I think, in a lot of people's heart, because it is a one and done. If you win your game, you move on. If you do not win your game, you go home and you're done for the season. Done.
Yeah, but if I'm
finality there.
If I'm making shoes on the plant floor and we're trying to ship that last shoe this quarter, right?
Yeah.
I made that shoe. I'm gonna make the next shoe, right? So I think, and the reason I bring that up, it's not as a downer or anything. It's just to realize, I mean, there are analogies that work that can get the quote team excited and engaged and driving forward. But you need to be careful, I think, at times to put the right game in place, right? To make it something that does actually have an appropriate dopamine drip. And maybe it's much more to go back to the beginning, maybe it's much more about that grind, that you know, just level up to the next thing in your crafting skill, versus, you know, it's an end game raid or, you know, winning the bracket.
Yeah, I think each of those are motivational in and of their own right and have potential for rewards that could be differentiated between them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But people play both of those games, right? You know, there are open-ended games. Sports games, you know, are games that people do tend to play over and over and over and over again because the outcome is except in certain circumstances, not ever certain, right? You know, people like to play sports games because then things can happen. Different scenarios can occur where the winning is changed. World of Warcraft has a wide open field of play, and you can play a variety of narratives there that, in theory, you never reach the end of. Right?
Yep.
You can reach the highest level. Yeah, but there's always, you know, more wandering around you could go do, and more people that you could meet while they're in game, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree, and I think again, to kind of hit my point, I think the point is you have to set up the right game with the right motivations and the right engagement, to use the term you were using, to achieve the goal that you need, and that's why we do play different games, each of them for their own different dopamine drip, you know, everything is leaderboards, or everything is badges, or everything is, you know, a point system, right? And I think that in itself could be an interesting game, is a business setting up a game to figure out what the right game is for a specific outcome that they're looking for.
You could have a game for that.
Yeah. Not a contest, but a game, right?
Yeah.
So a contest says there's one winner. Right, a game says there's multiple ways to solve the problem, and so you end up with multiple options of how to get the right motivations that you're looking for. And by the way, it is close to both of our day jobs right now, to quarter end. So of course, quarter end is kind of top of mind.
Yes.
So I just keep thinking, you know, I get on, you know, sales cadence calls and things of that nature, and you hear that mentality of, we just got to bring it across the finish line and we'll win. You know, this will be a great quarter and we'll win. And maybe it's the cynicism in my mind that says, no, we'll do well and we'll learn and we'll do better next quarter or next month or next year. And it should be a stepping stone, a grind, a leveling up of over time. Which is really how you drive growth.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I mean, it's a struggle where measurements are delineated by time too. So there is an increased high pressure to do everything possible to contain within a quarter. Things can be contained in within a quarter. Yeah, zero pens, right? Don't leave anything on the table.
Yep.
Yeah. So I understand exactly where you're going, and I think that's a nice way to tie it back together. So the idea, and you know, had it while we were talking on the show, is how do we explore that inflection point where things could go left or right? It could stay in the quarter, it could fall out of the quarter, and provide the necessary insight for people who could do something to have an impact, make a difference, actually do it.
That's a really good point, right? Again, it's that open world, multiple outcomes, that they're not all bad, right? It may make sense to slip a deal, even though it's going to be a huge deal. It'll make your numbers for the quarter, and everything would be right. But letting it slip the next quarter may be the right thing for the customer. It may be the right thing for the ability to deliver on that deal, right? And so when you think about that game, you're right. It's multiple outcomes, and all of them can be positive, just positive in a different way.
Well, right. And making available the insight to make the best decision for all the parties is important too, because sometimes that's the timing of it is such that, okay, you know, you got the ball, the seconds are ticking off the clock, you have one chance to make that last 3-point shot. It might be wise not to even take it.
Yeah, because the other team could take it and throw it a Hail Mary to the other end. 3 points! Yay! Well, I think we're just right at time right now. Anything exciting going on your way?
The most exciting thing that's coming up is I'll be talking about the transparent supply chain, which does embody some of the things that we're talking about here, at the industry conference in Hanover in a couple of weeks. So I'll make sure that we get the link up for that on the site, and that we are sharing more details about that as it's coming to fruition in April.
Very cool. Yeah, and I will be out next week. I'm going to do my yearly geek pilgrimage to Macworld and hang out with friends and drink adult beverages and talk tech and kind of just geek out in San Francisco for a while. So I will not be on the show next week if we have one, but I think there's exciting stuff going on. So we hope everybody has what?
Swag.
Swag. Nah, I'm not a big swag. I'm not a swagger. I don't get a lot of swag. I actually like going to the sessions and hearing the speakers and engaging with them to talk about things, right? I actually have, you know, the kind of the all access pass, so I'm actually going to go to a couple of the Mac IT sessions on how to leverage the technology, especially around the mobile side and the security aspects in the enterprise. And then there's a couple of interesting sessions on that I plan on going to on iCloud, because cloud is something that's very interesting to me, as well as there's one session that I know you would want to go to, since we've been talking about workflows in Logic Pro X. I will be in the session on cool and interesting workflows using Logic.
That would be great. I can't wait to learn from you and what you see and learn at that particular event to help us with our workflow and get quicker in our post-production activity. Boy,
absolutely.
That would be great.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, everybody. Don't forget, if you've got a few minutes this week when you're listening to the show, to rate us on iTunes or follow us on Twitter, on Google+, over on Tumblr. We have a Tumblr blog out there. All these links are on our show page at gamesatwork.biz, and we want your feedback.
We all want your feedback.
It's a game. Game us with feedback.
Get your dopamine drip. Let us know what you think.
Take that 3-point shot. Do it.
Not at the last minute. Do it now, because then you don't have to take it at the last minute.
It's a limited time offer.
It's a limited time offer for you to rate this show this week. Bye, everybody. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.